the amended motion would be that the Pensacola Police Department engage the East Pensacola Student Athlete Program, Inc. to agree on law enforcement interactions and coordinate scheduled events and develop a pilot program for future interactions with additional minority youth organizations within the city of Pensacola.
Second, Ben Durant.
But what do you do about the people that's not athletes? What do you do about the people that's not kids? Because you already said the age range only go up to 15 and 13 for cheerleaders. So what do you do about people that's not those things? Like, the athletes are good, but they get back to their neighborhoods and their brothers, their cousins, their uncles, their sisters, everybody else getting messed with except for them. What do you do about that?
So one of the recommendations, there's been now five official recommendations from the Citizens Police Advisory Committee in Pensacola. One of them has to do with decriminalizing personal possession amounts of marijuana, you know, and then they've also got the ones about tips and trauma-informed policing, and there's another one, the CIT program. But then this one that they just passed on Tuesday was, with the cooperation of the Pensacola Police Department, was a recommendation that the police get involved in athletics and McGee Field in East Pensacola Heights. And Kyle Cole there is asking the question, and Kyle, in case you don't remember, is one of the organizers of the Graffiti Bridge protests, and he was the one that was on the council. A good guy. I've met him a couple times. I don't think we've had him on the show, though. Maybe I'd have him on the show. We've had Caleb on the show. Anyway, but Kyle basically saying, what about the non-athletes? Fair question. Let's talk about it with Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, good to have you. So let's back up for just one second and talk about what will this look like to have PPD involved with the Pensacola Heights athletic the kids like at in the at McGee Field. What will this actually look like?
Well, first of all, this has been done before. We look forward to this. This effort that's being brought up by the committee is going to be embraced by Chief Leiter and his staff. In the past, when Chief Simmons was the chief, he developed a summer youth sports camp, and it was a success. We want to get involved with the children because nobody wants to see them, grow up and be good citizens more than the police do, and their families too. So it's going to take a collaborative effort between the police department, the community, and families to make this a successful program. But we do look forward to participating.
And the basic theory here is, much like school resource officers, is to be there with them, to be seen by them, to become familiar to them, to not be the adversary, but to be the assistant. And also, of course, to help invest in them and do whatever you can to help them grow up and get whatever needs met that they need met, right? I mean, that's the basic idea, right? Both of those?
Yeah, it is. But Andrew, we have to keep these programs going. There's been so many in the past. You know, we participated in DARE. We've got SROs and officers in all the schools now. So all these kids have access to police officers that can sit down and speak with them at any time. And they have those interactions in a positive way. We've also had the Youth Citizens Police Academy at the Pensacola Police Department. We do numerous tours of the police department all the time for youth groups, and we've had officers as well as civilians too that work at the police department that have played basketball in the schools with the kids, as well as places like the Fricker Center. So this has been going on with PPD for many, many years. The key is to keep these programs going, and sometimes they fail for various reasons, whether it be funding or officers. We don't have to take off the streets to do this anymore, but that's going to be the key, is to keep things going.
What about this concern that's great for the kids that will come to the athletic program, but what about all the kids who don't do that?
Well, and Kyle Cole had a great point there, and we understand that. So to raise kids and teenagers in a positive way in general, not just toward the police, but it does require the police, again, the police, the family, and the community. All three have to participate in having kids grow up positive and having positive outlooks toward the police. And if any one of those groups fails, if any one of them drops out, then it's destined for failure.
Right.
So we have to have, once they leave McGee Field, or if they're not athletes, there has to be positivity in the home, in the church, and in the community. The police cannot solve this on their own.
You know, the Citizens Police Advisory Committee, it's been an interesting thing to watch. You know, sometimes the personalities are a bit friction, and that's okay. I mean, that doesn't really bother me particularly, but they've been kind of, grasping around trying to figure out what it is they're supposed to be doing and even what authority they have. I know you guys watch these meetings. I know Chief Leiter wasn't able to be at the meeting on Tuesday, but, you know, you pay attention to them. Anything else that you're seeing come out of the meeting that, I don't know, you want to address or, you know, that you think is a good idea or a concern?
Well, I certainly understand where they want some things to be done quickly and not to have to go through a lot of red tape. That's certainly understandable. And Chief Leiter has addressed the concerns so far that he's able to change. Other things have to come from the legislature, you know, to have some laws changed. So I think that there's good dialogue going on in that room, and we hope to see that continue.
I particularly favor the suggestion that seemed to come up this last week of why can't the complaints against police officers also be copied to the CPAC so that they can at least be familiar with them and kind of see what are the, because, you know, a lot of this is anecdotal, right? People say they've been told by a friend at the meeting, and it would be nice for them to be able to review those complaints, maybe redacted of information, maybe not. It's up to you guys. But that makes sense to me, because then at least they're seeing what are being complained about, what's actually happening in terms of the complaint process. Do you guys support that?
Well, there would have to be some changes. You know, active investigations involving officers aren't privy to the public. Things like that would have to be changed, or some things that just can't come out like that. But, you know, another key point that came up in the meeting was, certain things have happened. There have been complaints on officers, or officers have done this and that, but nobody has complained. So in order for us to find out about these things, people need to file complaints. And, you know, we've got those body cameras on. We can go back in seconds and look and see what happened,
right,
to see if there's any, if the complaint happened or if the incident actually happened.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a chicken and an egg issue, too, is that people, you know, like they were saying in the meeting, was that when people feel like their complaints are heard by the advisory board, they're more willing to trust and they're more willing to file them. And so maybe that would get people to file, and because they believe that they're going to be, I mean, it's kind of, you can, you know, start at both ends of the problem, perhaps. 2 weeks ago, you mentioned something to me that I just forgot to follow up with you last week about, in the new counseling program that you all have in place, where every officer is going to get a counseling session every 6 months. You had said that you were scheduled for yours, and I should ask you how it went. So how'd it go?
It was fantastic. It was a great conversation. Certainly don't mind going back again. And if I feel like I need to go back before I'm required to, I'm going to do that. This is something, again, I'm not the only one that feels that way. There are several officers that feel the same way. So it's definitely a great program. And again, this is something that did, part of that came out of the CPAC, and we're glad to be able to do this and see that continue.
What was the misconception, maybe, that you had, and maybe you didn't have any, but did you have a misconception about what that counseling session would look like? And then what did you actually find out?
The problem is I didn't know what to expect. I've been in those before. I've been in traumatic situations at work, and I've had to go. So we focused specifically on that situation that put me in that room. But this one was general. I didn't know where the questions were going to come from, but they were very simple questions. It was non-adversarial, and it was a great talk, and I look forward to going back again.
Oh, man, that's such I love that answer, because I totally, you know, you all spend your lives preparing for chaos and preparing to be prepared for chaotic situations. And when you're going into a situation where you just have no idea what to expect and are not prepared for it, that's unsettling. I mean, I know for me, like, people think, well, you're good at public speaking. You do radio all the time. Here, go talk to this crowd and talk to them for 20 minutes. About what? Well, you know what? Your choice. Stop it. You know, that's a completely different kind of environment, and unknown environments are scary for people who'd like to be prepared for stuff. I get that. Hey, we started this thing with you a couple weeks ago, and I love the idea. Just kind of a MythBusters or myth questions. So question for you this week, do police officers have quotas? Do police officers have to fill quotas of any kind? This kind of came up in the CPAC meeting as well, but it's something you hear alleged all the time.
The answer is no. We do not and have not had quotas for many, many years. In fact, in California, Florida, and Texas, it's illegal.
And that's for, like, speeding tickets particularly, or is that for every kind of enforcement action?
Well, it can be for all of them. It can be for arrest as well. But, you know, Andrew, traffic enforcement is extremely important. That's mostly where people start talking about quotas. And after he was sworn in as the chief of police, Chief Leiter made it very, very clear that traffic enforcement would be a priority for him. And that's because lives depend on it. And if you think about it, it's extremely rare, if not impossible, for an injury or serious death to occur involving vehicles that had drivers who were not breaking any traffic laws. It's as simple as that.
But the goal there is to get people to be safe, not to produce so many tickets or anything like that.
That's a fact. You know, we wish we could sit around and do nothing all day. No tickets, no arrests, none of that. That would be a great world to live in as a police officer. But unfortunately, as long as people are breaking laws, then we have to do our jobs that we're sworn to do.
Now, I completely agree with you. That is a serious comment to make. But I know how cops work, and I just know other I know the other PPD officers are going to give you grief over telling everybody that all cops want to do is nothing. I know.
Wouldn't that be a great world?
It would be, absolutely. Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. I so appreciate you, the time that you give us every week, and the work that you guys do keeping us safe. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon. I know next week's Thanksgiving, so we may not talk then, but have a great Thanksgiving, Mike, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.